Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, welcome to another edition of Sports Urban Legend. Along with my co-host, I am, of course, William M.O. What's up, Mac? How you doing?
Hey, what's up? How's it going?
I'm all right, man. You know, we're going to talk sports and entertainment as usual. Talk about the Rangers' big win as they knock off the Montreal Canadiens. As they advance to the next round, we'll get into that. We'll also talk about you know, the Mets and how the Mets and the Yankees are going opposite directions. We'll get into that, of course. Also talk NBA, you know, the NBA playoffs as well. And, you know, end the show off with a little, you know, WWE news as usual. And, you know, before we get into sports, two, you know, icons in their respective entertainment fields, you know, passed away. You were just telling me off the air.
Aaron Hernandez is not an icon.
Not Aaron Hernandez. Yeah, I mean, I wasn't talking about Aaron Hernandez. I wasn't talking about Aaron Hernandez. I was talking about Aaron Moran, you know, from from Happy Days. Joni from you know, Happy Days, and, of course, the short-lived Joni Lovechachi.
Yeah.
And the other person I was talking about was Cuba Gooding Sr. You know, he was in a group called Main Ingredient. Of course, he's well-known for being the father of Omar and Cuba Gooding Jr. as well. So, you know, we lost those people also, you know, also as well.
Rest in peace.
Rest in peace indeed. And, you know, as you know, Happy Days is one of my favorite sitcoms of all time. But, you know, it was, you know, very tragic that, you know, to hear Anne Moran passed away. You know, there's always been rumors that, you know, she fell on hard times, you know, lately for the past couple of years. She even appeared on a Celebrity Fit Club maybe around a decade ago. And, you know, like a lot of child actors, you know, they fell on hard times, you know, after their, you know, career, you know, is over. So, you know, it's sad to see. Apparently she had some issues with her in-laws and was homeless. And last time I heard a few years ago, her Happy Days cast members, you know, like Henry Winkler, you know, the Fonz. And I also believe Ron Howard, you know, who also played her brother, Richie Cunningham, you know, try to reach out to her in the past. But, you know, to no avail. So, you know, like you were telling me off the air, the autopsy is pending, so we don't know what her cause of death is. We don't know if it's drug-related or alcohol-related, even though, you know, she has had allegedly had substance abuse in the past. So, you know, sad to see her pass away like that.
Yeah. My condolences go out to her, you know, her family, friends. You know, great actress, a lot of talent. Actually, when she was on Happy Days. And, yeah, I mean, to see her, you know, fall from, you know, go have a not so bright, career after Happy Days. I mean, seeing her, you know, having to live in a trailer park, you know, with her husband, I think, or boyfriend, and her overcoming a drinking problem and having issues with her weight. So she had a lot of things that she dealt with after Happy Days, and she didn't age gracefully. Even back when she was doing Joni with Chachi, I always thought she looked way older. than
well,
they made
older.
Her out to be.
She was older than Chachi.
Well, yeah, I know that, but they like she looked way older than the show made her out to be. Like she looked like she could have been his mom, you know. Seriously, she didn't age gracefully, but that's not the point. But you know, it's a sad day, and yeah, I mean for Happy Day fans, Happy Days fans, I mean, you know, she was a great actress on the show, and again, my condolences go out to her family.
Same here, you know. My condolences go out to everybody who lost somebody, you know, recently. You know, you can never replace somebody.
Yep.
So, you know, I echo those sentiments as well. And, you know, also the, now that you touch on the Aaron Hernandez situation, that's a crazy situation also. You know, Aaron Hernandez, you know, reportedly, you know, killed himself on the same day that, you know, the Patriots were at the White House celebrating their most recent Super Bowl win, you know. You know, my condolences go out to Aaron Hernandez's family. You know, he did a lot of horrible things, but, you know, his family, you know, they're really feeling it right now, as long with the victims of, you know, Aaron Hernandez. Their families, you know, they're still dealing with, you know, the loss of their loved ones as well. So my condolences go out to them as well.
Yeah, you know, they're saying that, you know, he was smoking synthetic marijuana before he committed suicide, and he wrote three letters, one to his wife, another to his family, I guess, or friends. To a friend, and a third letter was to a potential gay lover that he had in prison. So there, you know, sounds like he may have been bisexual, had like a gay lover in prison.
That's news to me. I never heard that rumor, but
they've been reporting it since yesterday. Yeah, and
that's not you know.
They're also saying that you know in the Olden Lloyd murder case, that may have been a motive for killing Lloyd because Lloyd had some dirt on Aaron Hernandez that he was bi. And maybe Hernandez probably thought Lloyd was going to tell his wife that he was, you know, living on a down low, maybe. I don't know. But that's one of they think that may have been the motive, but, you know, it's
right.
It's not proven, but
right.
Yeah.
But, it's just a crazy story. And then, you know, reportedly he had John 3:16 written on his forehead, which is, I mean, very eerie. I mean, committing suicide is like the exact opposite of, you know, John 3:16. I mean, that's really demented. John 3:16 is basically, you know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever should believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That goes opposite of committing suicide. I don't even know what to say about that. It's just bizarre by any standards.
Yeah, citing he was very much into the Bible, even though he was a. Still a gangster, which is weird.
Yeah, well,
honestly, has gangsters could still be into the Bible and into religion, but you know that's another show.
Well, yeah, that's another show, but yeah, you can't be a gangster and be religious. I mean, yes, you might think you're religious, but it just goes against each other.
Yeah, well, you see it all the time.
Your enemies. Your Bible says love your enemies. The Bible never says kill your friends. I mean, it's just two different ideologies. But like you said, that's a whole nother show to get into that one.
Yeah, well, I don't get it,
moving on to the Yankees. I mean,
Bronx
Bombers. Their offense is explosive. I mean. The Yankees, man, they're like, they're back to their old selves. You know, they just, they just can't lose, man. They just, I mean, and the Pirates fans saw firsthand. You guys, the Yankees scored 11 runs. Chris Carter hit a pinch hit 3-run home run. Aaron Judge, you know, the jury's, I don't think the jury's out on him anymore. I mean, this guy
oh, yeah.
is a monster.
We're all witnesses, man. This Judge is, man, he's my favorite Yankee right now. Like, I know Gary Sanchez, you know, a lot of people are buying his jerseys right now, but I'm going to get my Aaron Judge jersey right now, man.
Mm-hmm.
When he hits home runs, he hits them far out. And today he hit his 6th home run to help the Yankees win. And
like 460.
Yeah, and all his home runs like 400-plus, you know.
Ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, the Yankees are playing well. They're playing good defense. Pitchers are doing well. The bullpen's great. And you have a mixture of veterans and young guys, you know, kind of reminiscent of that 96 team, you know. So they're playing real well now. But let's not get too crazy. It's still early in the season. They have a good record. But, you know, entering the season, you know, we're not supposed to really do much. You know, we're still in the rebuilding process, but, you know, it's good to be an underdog for a change, you know. Yankee fans haven't experienced that in a long time, so it's a good feeling right now.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, if you're a Yankee fan, you definitely could be really excited by the team, you know, because they're definitely meshing well together, and they're continuing where they left off from last year. For sure. With these young guys, you know, Judge, Sanchez, and then Montgomery, you know, on the pitching end, you know, Yankees got a lot of promise.
Yeah, and we've been on this winning streak without Sanchez and Didi Gregorius, and those guys will be back, you know, hopefully in the next few weeks here. So hopefully those guys can help us even more.
Absolutely. After, you know, Gregorius' injury, you know, about a month ago, are you leery about your players playing in the WBC?
No. I mean, I think the WBC was exciting this year. This was probably, like, the most excited I've been about the WBC ever.
Yeah, absolutely. And it didn't hurt that USA finally won it, too.
Yeah. I think they should do it earlier. They should probably do it maybe right after the World Series, or maybe a month after the World Series. You know?
That's what I was thinking myself too, because you know it's kind of like the Pro Bowl. I mean, you know, like once the you know, I'm glad that they did it. What was it? They do it the week before the Super Bowl, but they used to do it like a month after the Super Bowl. And once that happened, I was like.
Yeah.
You don't care about football anymore, you know, because Super Bowl happened, you know.
Right, exactly.
You're just waiting for the new season to begin, you know, in the fall. So,
yeah,
it would be best if they did the WBC, you know, sometime, or maybe even, it couldn't work then. I was thinking about during the All-Star break, but that's too short of a time. And then the players would want to play. So, yeah, it would have to be, I guess, ideally, it would have to be sometime after the World Series.
Yeah.
But not maybe a few weeks after the World Series.
Yeah.
Maybe 2 weeks. A month might be too far away.
Yeah,
maybe
you're
right. Two weeks after the World Series.
Yeah.
You know, you do that, play for a few weeks. And then, you know, by December, you know, it's over, you know.
Yeah.
You have the rest of the off season.
Yeah, pretty much.
But you know, shifting gears, you know, the Yankees are firing on all cylinders. The Mets, on the other hand, their offense is really offensive. I mean, they lost what, 7 of their last 8 games. The offense has been anemic lately. They've been losing games, as I just mentioned, and you know the starting pitching for the most part has been doing well, and they've been losing a lot of games, you know, extra innings or you know, in the last at bat. And you know, today's game, Jacob DeGrom, he went six innings. I don't think he finished the six innings. He struck out a bunch of batters. He struck out 10 in 5 2/3 inning, but he walked a career high six batters, and you know, unfortunately allowed 3 runs on 8 hits. So, you know, the Mets offense is really horrible. Not to mention Cespedes, Duda, Flores, Darno, you know, they're all hurt. So, you know, it's definitely it's definitely hurting the offense. And then you add to the fact Jose Reyes has off the field issues and he hasn't been hitting at all.
They need to release him, man. I'm sorry. I think Reyes is a waste on the he's a waste of space on that roster right now, I think.
You know, I hate to agree with you, but yeah, right now he's really slumping. I mean, he's been horrible the whole year so far. I definitely think they should bench him for sure, permanently, and you know make him a pinch hitter or so, you know, until I mean, he doesn't look like he has it anymore, but I definitely think they should he should be benched for sure.
Or traded. If the Mets could get, some better out of it.
This guy's getting like .97 or so. Or maybe I'm just I gave him a little bit more points than he does have. he's literally hitting under 100.
Wow.
So I don't even think you're gonna get a player to be named later if you trade for him.
Right. Wow.
I mean, right now I think he should. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if he gets released, but I think they're gonna give him a little more leeway, you know, due to his history with the team, you know, being one of their best players, you know, in history, and also David Wright being hurt, you know. Not to mention Flores, who could have played there, you know, could have replaced them. But, you know, he's hurt also. But one guy to keep your eye out for is Amed Rosario. That's the Mets' top shortstop prospect. I mean, this guy is supposed to be the next big thing, you know. So he's coming up sometime this year. And with the way, you know, he's struggling, it might be sooner. But then again, you know, they have Cabrera, you know, who had the only RBI single, you know, of the game for the Mets. So the Mets fell to the Nationals 3-1. You know, the Mets, they've lost the first 2 games to the Nationals these past couple of days, including today. And tomorrow they're going to try to avoid the sweep. But it's not looking good for the Mets. The offense is really bad. The bullpen is overworked. And Terry Collins, he just keeps using him in familiar situations where there's no safe situations, and he's wasting him. I mean, these last couple of games, one of them, he even used them like 2 innings with 31 pitches, and Mets was trailing. So there was no point of using him. You know what I'm saying? It was a joke. I mean, Terry Collins got to use this bullpen more efficiently. You know, it's like he's just a move too late. The starting pitcher, or the bullpen guy gives up the big run, then he takes them out after all the damage is done. Or what I hate watching a Mets game is when you sense something bad's going on, the tide's about to turn, the Mets starting pitcher or bullpen guy gives up the big home run, and then afterwards he takes them out, or the same pitcher gets the next person out after all the damage is done, and then it was like the move was too, you know, it was just too late.
Yeah.
As a manager, you know, I know this, like you were saying about the Yankees hot streak, it's early, you know, it's April. And you're absolutely right. Well, the Mets, you know, I mean, for years, man, Terry Collins, man, he has to. I just think sometimes he's too loyal at times. You know, he doesn't want to take people out, before the damage is done. When you could clearly see the person's walking people, and doesn't have any control, walking people with the bases loaded, or you know, putting people on base and then giving up the home run, and then you take the person out. It's like, it's too late. Come on. I mean, I know it's early, but when you're in a playoff hunt and you're battling the Nationals and the Marlins, who are red hot, I mean, all these teams are or on the Knicks, rather on the Mets, man. Whether they're good or bad, they always wake up to try to play the Mets. I mean, you know, they want to beat that. Once they see a New York team, as you know, in any sport, they want to beat you up. It don't matter if you're a championship caliber team or a dungeon dweller in the standings. You know what I mean? They want to whoop your behind. If they see the New York. They see the New York logo on your jersey, they want to whoop your behind. So
they definitely gotta
wake up before, you know, because every game counts. I know it's still early. We're still in April, you know, but the Mets they gotta wake up because, you know, if they blink, they don't have to blink. They could end up in last place very very quickly because this division is very competitive right now, so they gotta wake up.
Yeah, I mean, the Mets, they're riddled with injuries, offense struggling. You know, they gotta get their act together. You know, because like you said, this is a competitive division. You got the Marlins, who, you know, it seems like, you know, they always want to beat the Mets these days. And the Nationals, being the big dog of that division right now, they're trying to run away with this thing.
Absolutely. 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 And they basically just gotta play better and stay healthy.
Yeah.
And we'll definitely keep you posted on that. One team that's unlike the Knicks, you know, this team is bringing pride to the Garden. Of course, I'm talking about the New York Rangers. They finally defeated the Montreal Canadiens about a half hour ago. They won the series 4-2, you know, in a best of seven series. And they won Game 6 of the Eastern Conference first round. Final score of 3-1. Matt Zuccarello is definitely the hero of the game. He scored two goals for the Rangers to clinch this division. This first round of the playoffs. And as a result, the Rangers are going to face either the Ottawa Senators or the Boston Bruins in round. So. Congratulations to the Rangers right there.
Yeah, congrats. The Rangers are looking real good. Playing fast, playing good defense. I mean, they're going to play the winner of the Ottawa-Boston series in the second round. And, you know, a lot of experts are saying that they're better than those two teams. So, you know, hopefully Rangers can beat one of those two teams and then move on to the Eastern Conference Finals and get some revenge and play the Pittsburgh Penguins and get, you know, avenge their loss from last year.
Absolutely. And in the loss, the Canadiens, Alexei Imelin, he scored a goal, the lone goal for the Canadians, or the Les Habitants, as the natives of Canada call them. And but that wasn't enough, as Zuccarello, two goals, and along with Derek Stefan's goal in the third period to clinch the series for the Rangers, the Blue Shirts. So congratulations to the Rangers, and as we mentioned, they will be facing either Ottawa Senators or the Boston Bruins in this upcoming round. So good luck to the Rangers. And, oh yeah, another news about the NHL is that the Nashville Predators, they swept the Chicago Blackhawks in impressive fashion. I think they outscored the Blackhawks 13-3, the 4-game sweep. So, you know, congratulations to the Predators.
Yeah, it's first time that's ever happened in the NHL playoff history, right?
Yeah, absolutely. They were the first eight seed to defeat the number one seed, and of course, us NBA fans remember in '99, our New York Knicks, when they were, you know, a team to mess with, they upset in '99 that year on their quest to, you know, go to, you know, the finals against the Spurs.
Yeah, you've had several teams do it in basketball, but first time that's ever happened in hockey. So I'm amazed that's the first time it happened in hockey. You would have thought it happened already long time ago, since hockey has been around for a while.
Yeah, absolutely. You're absolutely right. So, you know, again, congratulations, you know, to the, you know, whatchamacallit, what was I going to say? The Rangers and the Predators in this instance as well.
Yeah.
But, what was I going to say? Moving along, let's move on to WWE. And, of course, Braun Strowman, he got on his rampage yet again, you know, a week after he demolished Roman Reigns and put him in the hospital, sent him to the hospital after he toppled over an ambulance in a shocking moment. You know, what was I going to say? I forgot what I was going to say. After he demolished Roman Reigns this week, you know, he wanted to make another statement. So he beat up Golden Truth and finished it off by putting Kalisto in a dumpster. And as a result, this Monday, it was confirmed by the new GM, Kurt Angle, of Raw, that this Raw, Kalisto will try to get his revenge against Braun Strowman in a dumpster match. I guess we all know who's going to win that match.
Yeah. But Strowman is acting like a bully these days, man.
Oh yeah, he destroyed the ring with Big Show, which I knew that was gonna happen. I just sensed it was gonna happen.
Yep.
So it really lessened from the moment for me, you know, because I suspected it was gonna happen. If it was out of nowhere, I couldn't get excited like everybody else was. Like, you know, this is like the third time it happened in a WWE ring. I think all three times it involved Big Show.
Oh yeah.
The first time was Big Show and Brock Lesnar, which was epic. Then I think Bischoff versus Mark Henry. Yeah, on SmackDown. I think it was Bischoff Mark Henry a few years ago. Probably was 2012.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, this Monday night, which I knew it was going to happen, so it wasn't. I even told my little sister that, you know, I bet this is what's going to happen. And sure enough, it did. And, you know, it was a great moment. I mean, it would have been a much better moment had I not prepared for it. But kudos to the referee for selling it. You know, he flew out of the ring. Unlike the first time it happened with Brock Lesnar, once the ring exploded, the referee was still standing up. And the referee is supposed to be the weakest person inside the ring. But yeah, he stood up. And after eventually Braun Strowman in this Monday night, Braun got up. You know, it would have been interesting had Braun would have pinned Big Show and then got the pinfall officially, even though, you know, instead of calling it off like they always do. But it was the perfect way to end a Big Show Braun Strowman match because these guys seem to be fighting each other all the time lately.
Yeah, it seems like
Roman Reigns, he's fighting Braun Strowman.
Yeah,
wasn't
it was
a month ago they fought each other?
I think so. And, you know, of course, they were in that Battle Royal, that Andre the Giant Battle Royal together, where I thought one of them was going to win it, but that wasn't the case.
Right. It was more Joe Riley. Mm-hmm. And Gronkowski, apparently there's rumors he might train to go to WWE, you know, be trained by WWE. So,
oh, great.
That might happen. Another celebrity. Because, you know, that's going to happen. If he wrestles in a WWE match, especially on Raw, you know he's going to win whoever it is.
Yeah, of course. Probably he'll fight, what's his name? The Arab. What's his name again? What's his name?
Mojo Rawley, his friend?
No. Who Gronkowski would fight? The Arabic guy.
Which guy?
The Arabic guy.
Jinder Mahal?
Jinder Mahal, there you go.
Well, actually, he's going to be Indian, but speaking of which, let's go
same thing.
That. He became the number one contender of the WWE title. I mean, I'm all for having new people being number one contenders and, you know, shaking it up because WWE has been really horrible at that point. But this came out of literally nowhere with no build-up whatsoever. Jinder Mahal was part of the three-man band last time he was there. And Jinder Mahal looks like he's been taking something more than Wheaties because, I mean, he was always a fit, athletic guy, but this guy really looks jacked up, man.
Oh, maybe he's been working out. Maybe he's working out extra.
Allegedly. Uh-huh. And apparently the rumor is why they're giving him the push is because WWE finally has some territory in the, you know, they're trying to reach out to India. So they signed somebody recently. So having Jinder Mahal being a championship caliber wrestler is, you know, good for business, best for business for them to reach out to that place. Because remember, Great Khali isn't there no more. So he basically replaced his former storyline brother-in-law. Because remember, he used to come out with the Great Khali.
Yeah.
But as a result of this, him being the future number one contender, this basically ruins the momentum of the match? Orton and Bray Wyatt's match. Because Bray Wyatt is on Raw now, so whether the title's on the line or not, Orton's gonna win that match anyway. Unless if it's a non-title match, then maybe Bray Wyatt might finally win a meaningless matchup instead of the House of Horrors.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so even if the title's on the line, we know Orton's going to win because Orton's going to feud with Jinder Mahal. And then you got the United States title, which Owens have, and he moved it to SmackDown. But if Jericho beats him somehow, Jericho moves to SmackDown, And AJ Styles is going to be a number one contender. Instead of for the WWE title, he's competing for the U.S. title. I mean, these matchups seem like they're in reverse. Jinder Mahal should be competing for the United States the United States title since he's anti-American.
Yeah, that's true.
And he hasn't won a singles title, whereas AJ Styles should still compete for the WWE title. It's like the titles are in reverse.
Yeah, you got a point there. You got a point.
And as a result, the Payback pay-per-view is meaningless because you know basically everybody's going to hold on to the titles. So this title is meaningless. They should have just waited for this SmackDown shake-up through these feuds was over and then do it. Because it's now like people are fighting two different feuds at the same time, and it's weird.
Yeah, you got a point. You got a point there. But I think Jinder Mahal, I think WWE finally giving a push. I think it's a good idea.
I think so too. Because
he could be a good heel.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, that's true. I mean, you know, they're a desperate need of new stars and new. New
yeah.
heels and heroes because it's the same people over and over again. Orton, Triple H, Batista, Cena, same people. So it's good to see that they gave somebody new it. But they dropped the ball on Bray Wyatt big time. But let's see what they're going to do with Jinder Mahal. You got any last words? Because we're about to head out.
No, just thanks for inviting me to be on the show as usual. And, come back and check out Sports and Religion every Saturdays/Sundays at midnight.
Thank you, Mac. And thank you, everybody, for listening to another episode of Sports and Religion.